Tuesday, Tim's here. 2 hours of open forum. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples, the author of Behold Your Mother, a Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, and Nuts and Bolts, a Practical How-To Guide for Evangelism.
Yes.
I did it, huh? I did it. Hi, Tim.
Hey, good to be with you, my friend.
Who are you taking calls from today? Anyone on earth, or are you leaving anyone out?
Just anybody but Cy Kellett.
All right, fine. I don't know how to dial this phone out anyway. So,
hey, I want to give a shout out to the folks in Melbourne, Florida.
And oh, you were in Melbourne, Florida.
Yeah, and I told them I would do this because I totally botched their town. Melbourne is the county, but...
But they're in... Were you in Atlanta or something?
Yeah, Indy Atlantic, and I totally botched it last week, but it's Indy Atlantic because it's between the Indian River and the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, so the town is called Indy Atlantic.
Indy Atlantic. Beautiful little beach town.
You think it's between the Intercoastal and the Atlantic Ocean? That's like a little strip of perfect beach.
It is. It's absolutely gorgeous. A tiny little town, but...
Did you fly into Melbourne?
I did.
Did you get to see the Space Center when you flew over? Because a lot of times the plane flies over.
You know what? I didn't even know that. I wasn't thinking. I was working on the plane. So I didn't see anything, but they told me afterward exactly what you just said. I should have been looking, but no, I didn't. Yeah, they can see, like, if there was a launch, I would have been able to see it from my hotel room, which looked out over the ocean. It was
pretty beautiful. Nice.
Yeah. But what a wonderful town. Also spoke to Legatus chapter in Columbus, Ohio. So it was kind of back-to-backers and... Wonderful seeing on fire Catholics all over the place.
How great. It's great to be out there again, huh?
Amen.
I wish I could. 888-318-7884. I actually was going out to do a talk with our friends at the Catholic Man Show in Tulsa, and they were so nice to me. But then I had a slight health hiccup and couldn't get on an airplane.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was the one where I... I haven't talked about this at all in the air.
I didn't know about this.
Oh, you didn't know? Where I...
Did they throw you off? Or?
Briefly lost some consciousness and fell into a table. But I haven't mentioned this on the air, have I? No, I have not. And so, but now I think I'm cleared to fly again.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, but...
But I don't want to fly. It sounds like it's a riot. Like, everything you hear about flights is people beating each other up. And like, was it peaceful on your flight?
Yes, my flights were totally peaceful, although we did have some adventures. Got diverted from Charlotte, North Carolina. Had to go to Myrtle Beach because there was a storm coming in and made for a long day on Sunday, my friend. Hours of waiting and stuff like that. But you know what? How can you complain? Who was the comedian who said,
I know about people flying?
I'll think of his name. What are you complaining about? You're sitting. Yes, you're sitting. Going 500 miles an hour
through the sky, you know, and you're like, I'm bored.
Really? Yeah, or I'm mad because I didn't get my water. Or
exactly.
Anyway,
the number here, 888-318-7884. We strongly encourage, if you're not a Catholic and you have some, maybe you have an objection to the Catholic faith, something that just baffles you about the Catholic faith, but Catholics welcome, non-Catholics welcome, everybody welcome. Open forum, 888-318-7884. We'll start in North Carolina. Mike in North Carolina. Watching on YouTube. Wait, now Myrtle Beach is in South Carolina, right?
Correct.
Right? Okay, so I won't ask Mike about that. Mike, thanks for calling. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hey, appreciate it. Hey, that comedian is Dane Cook, by the way, real quick.
Oh, that was it? Dane Cook that said that?
Okay.
All right, so you have to put comedian in quote marks.
So, yeah, thank you, first of all. You guys are the ones that brought me back to the Catholic faith after being gone for almost 20 years.
Oh, well, so, welcome home.
Thank you. All you guys on that, every one of y'all.
Thank you.
My question is during that period, I was dating a girl, lovely woman. We're married now. She was pregnant when we were married, but we got married in her church, which is the Anglican Church.
Right.
There was no Catholic priest present at the time. I was raised Catholic, baptized Catholic, confirmed in union, private school, all that.
Yes.
But I'm curious about the validity of my marriage because there was no Catholic priest present at that time.
Correct. Yes, because you were raised Catholic, my friend, you are bound by what we call canonical form, and so therefore that would be assumed to be an invalid union. What you need to do, though, is just go to your local parish and talk with your pastor, because you will have to get that marriage convalidated in the church. So, Mike, it's not a difficult process, but you need to do it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely does. Actually, when I went to my confession, I was talking to my priest about coming back, and he says, if you're married in that church, we can bless the rings. Just don't push it on your wife too fast.
There you go. There you go. Well, you're on the way, brother.
I appreciate your guys' time. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you,
God
Mike.
Bless
you. Great first call. Thank you very, very much. The number is 888-318-7884. Now to Florida, listening on the new and improved Catholic Answers Live app. Nick in Florida, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question, Nick.
Oh, hi. I have a quick question when it comes to the belief in everything catechism and Catholic. So right. I'm a Protestant now,
right?
But I'm very intrigued by the Catholic faith.
Yes.
And I've been doing a lot of research in the past year. And I've seen the big things very much so agree with, but there are smaller concepts, many, not just one, but many smaller concepts, which to me don't seem like heaven or hell issues, but I don't know. I've never talked to anybody about it.
Right.
But how much of the Catholic catechism or faith does one have to believe in to be in good standing with the Catholic Church?
Right. Very good. Mike, no, not Mike.
This is Nick.
This is Nick.
Yeah.
Mike was the last caller. Okay, Nick. Well, before you can receive a sacrament in the Catholic Church, you have to profess faith in all that the Catholic Church teaches to be revealed by God, all of the infallible teachings of the Church. And you also have to acknowledge the Church's authority in non-infallible matters, that is, the teachings of the ordinary magisterium. Now, they bind at a different level. We're bound to what the Church refers to as divine and Catholic faith by the infallible teachings of the Church. Those are deal breakers. If we don't agree, or if a person doesn't agree with all of them, they cannot become Catholic. And you also have to agree in principle that when it comes to non-infallible teachings, the Church has the authority to declare on those things, and that you're willing to give what we call religious assent of the will and intellect to those teachings as well. Now, they don't bind absolutely. If a church teaches, here's an example of a non-infallible teaching that is a teaching of the ordinary magisterium. And that is that Mary died, right? And the tradition is, you know, she died and laid in state for 3 days, and then she was assumed into heaven. Now, there's an ancient tradition in the Church that says she never died. St. Epiphanius appears to have held that. It's a very ancient teaching. But the Church holds, for example, in Pope Pius XII's famous apostolic constitution, when he promulgated the dogma of the Assumption, 8 times in that document, he says, Mary died, Mary died, Mary died. And we have the tradition of the Feast of the Dormition, which would later become the Feast of the Assumption. So that's a teaching of the ordinary magisterium. But if someone were to deny that in their heart of hearts and say, you know, gosh, I've read and I've studied, but I still kind of think Mary never died, that would not be a deal breaker. All right. So there's kind of the distinction between the ordinary teaching authority versus infallible teaching authority. So what we'd have to do, Nick, is take a look at the teachings that you're talking about. And by the way, it's when I say we have to, in principle, acknowledge the Church's authority to teach on the ordinary level, that itself is an infallible teaching, right? That the Church can teach on the ordinary level is an infallible teaching, okay? So we can't reject that. But of course, the particular teachings of the ordinary magisterium you have to take a look at. And some of those bind with more authority than others, but none of them bind with divine and Catholic faith. So the key, again, would be, Nick, to take a look at these issues that you would describe as not as important. I don't remember the words that you used, but we'd have to take a look at those. Can you name one or two?
Yeah, the one that always pops up, and I've talked to another priest about this, the Lord Father O'Brien, I believe his name is, and it was on the death penalty, which was changed in 2018 from, in some certain circumstances, yes, we could, but then in 2018, Pope Francis made it, I don't know, declaration or
yes.
It was changed to no, because now we can hold people without harm to others or
right.
any possibility of harm to others.
Right.
And I'm a big supporter of a death penalty for certain terrible crimes.
Sure, sure. Yeah, okay, that's a great example. Now, this that Pope Francis declared is not infallible teaching. That is not something that would bind with divine and Catholic faith. In fact, the 2004 document on worthiness to receive communion still applies with regard to this teaching, even though, you know, John Paul was moving in this direction, as was Pope Benedict, and now Pope Francis has declared, as you said, this is not a matter that is infallible. And so if individual Catholics disagree with the Holy Father on this, we must respectfully acknowledge the teaching of the ordinary magisterium, which is, you know, what Pope Francis declared is that because of our, there's a few other things, you know, the development and our understanding of the human person, and some particular things that Pope Francis points out there, as well as you mentioned, we have the ability to put people away and protect the common good. And by the way, in the history of the church, for example, St. Thomas Aquinas, the main reason why he gives for justification for the death penalty is the protection of the common good. So if the common good can be protected in other ways, it does seem fitting that the death penalty should not be employed. Now, a lot of folks miss this and try to claim that, you know, Pope Francis is saying that the death penalty is intrinsically evil or something like that. He has never, and he could never say that because, you know, the death penalty has been understood, taught as just punishment for basically 2,000 years in the Catholic Church. It is a just punishment. It's taught as such even in the New Testament. It's implied as a just punishment. So Pope Francis is not saying it cannot be a just punishment. He's saying that it ought not to be employed today, and that is a prudential judgment of the Holy Father. And I was with you, brother. I'm very strong on death penalty, especially when I was Protestant. I have over time changed my position on that because I have formed my conscience in accordance with the magisterial teaching on this, and I get why. You know, it's a matter of in this day and age, it is not that the death penalty is unjust intrinsically, no, but given the circumstances that we find ourselves in today, it is not wise. It ought not to be employed. Again, this is a prudential judgment. If you were to disagree with the church on that, as Cardinal Ratzinger said in 2004, you can still present yourself for Holy Communion, so that would not keep you from entering into the Catholic Church. I wish we had more time, brother, to talk about more of the particulars, but I really appreciate you calling in. Please call back again. Check out, we've got tons of great information for you at Catholic.com. Check out my website at timstaples.com as well. Got tons of great stuff for you and hope to hear from you again.
Thanks, Nick. But we do have to head to a break. Before we head to the break, I just want to let you know we did it, the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics Enrollment Drive. It's on now still, but we're now over 7,000 enrollments in the new School of Apologetics here at Catholic Answers. Our goal is to hit 7,500 enrollments by the end of June, and that's why we're having this big enrollment sale right now. You can take a full course for just $50, a mini course for $25. You can do it wherever you are around the world. Just go to shop.catholic.com and click on that School of Apologetics button. But the sale ends on the last day of June, so just a little more than a week now. Full courses, $50. Mini courses, $25 at shop.catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Don't forget to check out the latest episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus. You can listen each week to the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, now available at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. Unplanned.
Available at EWTNRC.com and the EWTN app.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Open Forum. Tim Staples, our guest. Both hours today. We'll do 2 hours of Open Forum where anybody can call with any question at all, whether you're Catholic or not, 888-318-7884. And at the end of those 2 hours, Tim is going to be shocked at how fast it all went, because he is every time. Jack in Albany, New York, also listening on the new and improved Catholic Answers Live app. You are next. Jack, go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi. So I was reading about the whole Eucharistic coherence thing that's going on.
Right.
And I read that getting an abortion or helping somebody get an abortion is an automatic excommunicable offense. And I was wondering why that's the case and other moral evils, like maybe other forms of murder or rape, aren't automatic excommunications.
Right. That's a great question. And this is one of these instances where we have to trust our Blessed Lord and the wisdom of Holy Mother Church. She considers certain matters, that is, I'm speaking of the Church, as particularly, number one, heinous, as well as particularly scandalous for other members of the body of Christ. And so, you know, think about it. Some of the sins, or and some of them are crimes as well, that carry with them automatic excommunication are apostasy, heresy, schism, violating the sacred species, that is the sacred host and the sacred chalice, right? Particularly heinous because we're talking about Jesus himself, physically attacking the Pope, sacramentally absolving an accomplice in sexual sin, right? For a priest to do that is terribly scandalous. Consecrating a bishop without authorization, of course, that has far-reaching damage because when you're talking about consecrating a bishop then has the unique authority to ordain other bishops as well as priests. And so that schism, the Church sees as extremely dangerous because it can last for centuries and centuries and do unspeakable damage, directly violating the seal of confession and a procure an abortion. And now our Holy Father has added any woman who attempts to be ordained to the priesthood or diaconate, and the bishop who attempts to ordain her. And so notice this is something that is, you know, very scandalous and is a hot topic right now in the Church and can cause a great amount of confusion and such in the Church. And so matters like fornication or adultery or even murder are not excommunicable because these are not things that are going to, you know, cause a schism in the Church or cause some kind of extraordinary scandal in the Church. Because, and remember, excommunication is medicinal. It's aimed at, number one, warning the person that is has either done these things or is thinking of doing these things, that this is extremely great. These are extremely grave matters. And again, the scandal that is caused. So the church does not, you know, normally excommunicate when you're talking about matters of weakness, you know, sins that are not so scandalous, because, you know, if somebody goes out and commits adultery, there's not really any danger in, oh my goodness, that person committed adultery, so the church must be saying adultery is okay.
Right.
Or that person committed murder, so the church must be saying that that's okay. But if you have a bishop ordaining a bishop illicitly, that can cause an enormous amount of confusion and scandal. And so the church wants to make very clear the serious nature of that particular sin. Does that help at all, brother?
Yeah, a lot. Thank you.
Okay, brother. God bless you.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate the call. It's open forum. Tim Staples is our guest this hour and next hour. We go now all the way up to Ontario, Canada, in London, Ontario, Canada. Andy is next. Andy, go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hello, Mr. Staples.
Yes.
Mr. Kelly, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Happy to, Andy.
My question is, how can we trust the validity of the gospel in scenarios where no disciple...
Well, wait, did we lose him? What happened? Oh, the call dropped. That's those Canadians.
Okay. Well, you know what? I got the gist of his question, and it is a good one. How can we trust accounts of, for example, Pontius Pilate's conversation with Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
When he pulls him aside, how could they have known what was said there? And there are many other examples like that, when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane and so forth, and they were sleeping and that sort of thing. How do we know? Well, first of all, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would lead the apostles both in John 16:7, John 16:13, and elsewhere. He says, it's better for you that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come, and he will lead you into all truth. And so the Holy Spirit gave revelation to the apostles. So any of those sorts of things can be so-called covered there. But what I have found, brother, is in looking into these things, there are other explanations as well. You don't have to say, for example, that Pilate's conversation with Jesus couldn't have been known by any other. Well, Pilate knew what was said.
Yes.
And most likely he would have said it to others, and it would have been common knowledge. Now, of course, would we want to rely on Pontius Pilate's version of what happened? Well, no. That's an example of where the Holy Spirit would help and fill in the holes so that there is nothing but truth being communicated. Or Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? They were asleep. Well, we know from the book of Hebrews that the scripture says he prayed with strong tears and crying out, right? And he also repeated his prayer over and over, if it be possible, let this cup pass, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The scripture says he repeated that over and over again. So certainly the apostles would have heard that, and he was praying the same thing over and over. So, you know, you've got examples like that, the common ones that are used to say, well, the apostles wouldn't know what's going on there. When you go a little bit deep and you say, sure, they would have known the gist of what Jesus was praying because he prayed it over and over again. So at any rate, if there are any that needed to be, you know, the holes filled in, thanks be to God, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is, I mean, think about the power of those words, Si, when Jesus says, it's better for you that I go away.
I know, it's striking.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is striking. What? Better? Yes. That's the power of the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Holy Spirit, who would lead them into all truth. So really, it's Jesus' promise to the apostles that is the source of our absolute guarantee that every word of sacred scripture is accurate, inspired by God.
So could Jesus also just have told them after the resurrection?
That too. He was 40 days hanging out with them and telling them also. In fact, That's another great point. We know that, imagine Cleopas and the unnamed disciple, both in Luke 24 and Mark 16, who Jesus expounded the entire Old Testament.
I know.
All things pertaining to himself. Oh, man, I wish I could have been there.
I know.
And taken notes. But you're right. That's another very important point that Cy brings up, because you had 40 days of Jesus teaching the apostles. We see he taught the disciples on the road to Emmaus and so forth. So absolutely.
Thanks, Andy. I'm sorry the call dropped, but we're always happy to get a call from north of the border. We'll take a quick break and be right back with more calls for Tim. It's open forum. If you've got a question, 888-318-7884.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
According to divine command, we should give God worship, but how do we know if we're doing it right? Is worship a form of self-help? To make me feel better? A form of social activism or even a commodity? Or is it something that transcends all of those? In Real Religion, How to Avoid False Faith and Worship God in Spirit and Truth, Father Jeff Kirby cuts through the misguided modern notions about God and religion and takes you back to the foundation for true worship, God's revelation about himself. From his first contact with his chosen people to the culmination of his revelation in Jesus Christ, God shows us what religion is supposed to be like and how to make the practice of it a lifelong virtue in our lives. Order your copy of Real Religion by visiting shop.catholic.com today, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Tim Staples in studio with us for both hours today. Tim, the author of Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, and Nuts and Bolts, a practical how-to guide to evangelism. But I was going to ask you about, you got another book coming, and I also wanted to tell you, I don't know if you, a Seventh-day Adventist called yesterday, so we sent him a copy of The Great Disappointment.
Outstanding. Yes, you're right. I'm working on, in fact, just before I was on the air, I was working on. Right now, it's the CASA course on the Eucharist, and it will be turned into a book.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Great.
So I was working on the book. It became a CASA course, so now
that's
I'm
smart.
Finishing up. I hope to be done by the end of July with the CASA course, and then we'll go toward turning it into a book as well.
Now, when you do it as a course, do you do it like word for word, or do you do it as bullet points? And you see what I'm saying? Like when you're presenting to the camera,
yes.
Are you doing a word for word read?
Yes.
Oh,
I do. Uh-huh. And boy, I'm glad I did on the last one. It's much easier to do a script.
Yeah.
When you're filming, and so yeah, I'm scripting every word and having a blast doing it as well.
That's for the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics,
yes.
Where there are more and more classes all the time, and I think plans for up to 90 classes at some point. Let's go to Colorado. Carla in Colorado. I hope you're there with us, Carla.
Hi.
Carla, you're there. Hey, Carla, go ahead with your question for Tim.
Yeah, I'm German with a K, Carla. I've been for 77 years
Catholic. I was in boarding school with the nuns for 6 years. Cardinal Ratzinger was my cardinal in Munich.
And
I have been now here since 71 here in America.
Yes.
And I have watched during the pandemic every night, every day, the mass on EWTN religiously, and prayed for my 5 kids and my 3 grandchildren.
Wonderful.
And myself.
Oh, praise God.
But I really hate that the bishops, the U.S. bishops, said that the president and whoever votes against abortion cannot get...
You mean
communion.
Votes for abortion? Or
votes for. Or
promotes, yes.
I think that is reminds me of QAnon, that whatever it's called, QAnon, they're kind of crazy. Even when they're doctors and lawyers and stuff like that, I think the bishops are getting a little too much power. Even the Pope said the bishop should not do that.
Okay. Well, Carly, it's a great question. But I think we need to clarify a few things. The bishops have not said that. What the bishops voted on is that a document would be drawn up focusing on the importance of the Eucharist and what it means to receive our blessed Lord in communion. And so we will see what the document says when the USCCB meets in November. So there's a lot of things still up in the air. And Carla, here's the key. And I think for folks on both sides of the issue, we need to, what do we say, take a chill pill, sigh, yes. In this respect. Now, Carla, the Code of Canon Law 1983, promulgated by Pope John Paul the Great, clearly in Canon 915 says that those who openly, persistently continue in rejection of church teaching in matters that are grave must not receive communion, right? So the Code of Canon Law lends itself in this direction. Now, of course, no bishop is bound by that to have to refuse communion, and the overwhelming majority of bishops have not enforced that law. But this is really where the issue lies, okay? There's two different prudential approaches here, Carla, and remember, these are prudential judgments to be made by the bishops and the Holy Father, and both are legitimate ways to go. Number one, we can go in what I believe is the more ancient way, certainly. When we look at sacred scripture and in the early centuries of the church, look at St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, for example. He did not forbid people from receiving the Eucharist. What St. Paul did, and even in matters where they were falling into very grave sins, he catechized and he evangelized, right? And he warned even in 1 Corinthians 11:27, right? He said, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. In verse 28, he says, therefore, let each man examine his own conscience and so receive worthily, right? And then he repeats himself again, warning, don't receive. And he says, in fact, in verse 30, for this reason, that is receiving unworthily, some of you have become sick, some have died, right? So St. Paul, it doesn't appear to be on his radar screen to refuse people communion. Rather, it's to teach and to warn folks you need to receive worthily, okay? And so there are those who would argue that it's not wise to refuse people communion, rather we should teach. And I tell you, Carla, that to me is the most important point all of us need to get out of this. We need to catechize and we need to evangelize. However, Carla, I'll have to say that I am on the side of actually enforcing, this is just me personally, of enforcing Canon 915. I do believe we develop in our understanding of the church, and different situations call for different measures. And I think there is a strong argument to be made, especially in our age of mass communication and such, the scandal that is caused by these politicians and such who claim to be Catholic, but they publicly, obstinately just, you know, I'll use another word of today, diss the church, right? And just publicly say, I am in favor of something as grave as abortion and promote it. I do believe that it certainly is legitimate and I would argue is wise to refuse them communion. But thanks be to God, Carla, I'm not the Pope and I'm not a bishop. I am not the bishops. I would not wish the bishopric on my worst enemies. God bless our bishops. We need to pray for them for wisdom and for the Holy Father as well. But I think the bottom line is, Carla, for all of us, whether the church chooses to refuse communion to Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Lisa Murkowski, notice I mentioned Democrats and a Republican because D's and R's don't matter. We're talking about the teaching of the church here in a very grave matter. But whether the church chooses to refuse or not changes nothing about the nature of the sins involved. It changes nothing. Joe Biden is still not in full communion with the Catholic Church when he promotes abortion all over the world. He's not in full communion. His soul is in jeopardy. And that's why we need to pray for him. Because I'm speaking objectively here, I'm not his judge, but his soul is in jeopardy, as Nancy Pelosi, Lisa Murkowski, and anyone who would promote the slaughter of innocent babies in the wombs of their mothers. But our role is to evangelize and catechize, teach people why that's wrong, why it's grave matter, and then let the bishops and the Holy Father decide which of the two prudential ways they are going to move. I hope that's helpful for you, Carla.
Yeah, but the Catholic Church is for death by... How many people have been innocent who got killed, like you talked to Michael about it, about the deaths, you know, of killers or so? I can understand that when you have for sure proof, DNA and stuff. But how many people we have killed or America has killed who were innocent?
Sure. Sure. I think, Carla, that you're getting on to another topic. Appreciate your call. I think you're moving toward there, the death penalty. That's a whole nother matter. And I think the prudential judgment of the Holy Father on that, I believe, is wise. But there are good Catholics, as we just mentioned, as you mentioned, the caller, I think, was his name, Michael?
Yeah, I think so.
Michael, who called earlier, yes, there are good Catholics who in their conscience disagree with the Holy Father on that. And I always say Cardinal Ratzinger's document in 2004 on worthiness to receive Holy Communion is an excellent document. I recommend everyone read and says that those who in their conscience disagree on this matter can present themselves for Holy Communion. It's something that we need to listen to, read, consider what the Holy Father is saying, but that is certainly not a definitive teaching of the church. That, too, is a matter in the prudential order. But, Carla, thanks so much for your call. God bless you.
Thank you, Carla. Lots of folks on the line, and we have 2 full hours to answer questions. So it's open forum today. If there's something that you would like to ask about the Catholic Church, whether you're Catholic or not, both hours are for you today, 888-318-7884. Now we welcome in the boss, the president of Catholic Answers, Christopher Check. Hi, Chris.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Very, very well.
Doing great.
Yeah. Did you guys like text each other before?
No, I called
look
early.
It was a memo that went out. Blue shirt.
Everybody wear the blue shirt today.
Si, I've actually seen something that you have not seen.
What is that?
That is how these brand new cameras that John Versillo's crew, Zach Maxwell, who's here in the studio with us, just got and queued up for today. Folks, if you're not watching the YouTube channel right now, the Catholic Answers YouTube channel, you can count the whiskers in Cy's beard.
It's disgusting.
with the clarity of these. No, really. Right. These lenses, these cameras that the video department just got are magnificent.
I vote we go back to the old ones.
Me too.
I don't want people counting my whiskers, man.
I know. Both Tim and I turned 57 within a few weeks here, and I don't think we need the high-res cameras.
I'm overstating. The shot looks magnificent.
I was only kidding, folks.
The rework of the studio and these new lenses now that we have up and running today, it is magnificent. So, folks, visit the Facebook page, visit the YouTube channel, and you will see those of you who generously support Catholic Answers, the gear that we have to present the gospel in a beautiful way.
Yeah, right. And it's going to allow us to do all kinds of new programming stuff.
Amen. That's not why I'm here.
Maybe we could use them at the conference.
Well, for sure.
Year.
No, of course, we will be filming at the conference. CatholicAnswersConference.com, Cy, the biggest Catholic event, the biggest Catholic party of the year. Is coming.
Well, and as a very wise young man said, Jesus loves a party.
He
too.
Does. He said Jesus opened his public ministry with a party,
right?
With a wedding party.
And if I remember, that's pretty much what we get to in the Book of Revelation too, at the end of everything. It's a big party,
the great feast, right? So we get a glimpse of the other side of the veil, my friends, this September 23 to 26, here in beautiful sunny San Diego at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla, a magnificently refitted hotel. It was beautiful before, and now they've redone it. An amazing room rate, $160 a night. If you look for a hotel room right now in San Diego, you will not, even at the Motel 6. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Motel 6.
Except the price. The price of everything is so expensive.
It's crazy expensive. But yeah. But $160 a night at this magnificent hotel, this fantastic conference, and the topic that is central, who do you say that I am? As I say, Jesus Christ became man to let us know what it meant to be men.
Amen. Right. Amen. Yeah.
Tim, what are you going to be talking about at the conference?
I am going to be talking about, did Jesus Christ have the beatific vision from the first moment of his human existence? Oh, and does it really matter?
I know the answer.
There's an answer to the first question, and then why does it matter? Yeah.
That's the more important question.
Yeah, but don't answer either of them right now. If you want
it only matters to me because I want to go to heaven.
That's right.
And if
don't
he doesn't,
give it away,
I ain't.
Si. Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Carla Broussard, our brand new apologists.
Yes.
Joe Heschmeyer.
Right. Well, he was used when we got him.
That's right.
We got a deal on him. Yes, we did.
Actually, I don't feel like we got a deal. I'm kidding. He is worth every penny. He's fantastic.
Yes.
So meet Joe Heschmeyer, meet Cy Kellett, our master of ceremonies. These guys will be here signing their books. And then special guest speakers, Paul Gondreau, Sister Marie Stella, the Sisters of Life, my brother, Father Paul Check, and our special keynote.
And the highlight of the conference, I have to say, though, Bishop Strickland. Sorry,
Joseph Strickland. Right.
Is the only part that I don't host is the highlight. It's the part where you have a conversation with all of the apologists.
The Q&A panel.
Yeah, the Q&A panel. People love the Q&A panel.
Well, it's because you get to ask the apologist any question that you want,
and then they correct each other too.
It's so much fun.
There's a lot of joie de vivre.
Yes,
there is a lot of joy too.
There is that. Listen, here's the deal, Cy.
Yeah.
If you sign up for the conference before July 2nd, you can take $30 off the price of the conference.
That's coming up.
Yes, it is.
You better sign up now.
Quite fast. If you're a member of our Society 315, 315 Society, you can take $40 off.
Wow.
And anybody who signs up by tomorrow morning, I'm going to have their name. I'm going to buy you a drink at the conference.
Really? If you sign up by tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
All right,
signing up. We'll have all those names.
All right.
How do I sign up, Cy?
You go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. Just put it all in there, CatholicAnswersConference.com, and sign up. It's September 23rd through the 26th at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla, Aventine. You're going to have a great time. And you get a deal until July 2nd. You get a special deal if you sign up within the next 12 hours or so, because Chris is going to buy you a drink.
But to get that deal for $30 off, enter the code EARLY.
Well, that's a complex code. Throw the code early in there. It's just so exciting we get to do this again. It was awful that we had really the best conference we've ever done planned for last year, and we weren't able to do it.
So my friends, everybody needs, we need to come together. We need to hug and embrace and be in one another's presence. Amen. And square dance with Jimmy Akin, and we're going to have a blast.
And I got to tell you, I've been waiting 2 years for this.
Yeah.
And yet Chris told me I got to stay within my time today.
Oh, I did, actually.
He's already saying it to you.
2 years.
He's
going
to say it to you every day between now and the conference.
Well, Tim, I don't know if you've ever been at one of those Tim Staples talks where it's, and I have 4 points to make.
Yeah. No, 7 points.
Seven points to make, and then you get to point number four.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you want the
rest
other
of
three,
in my book.
Buy my book. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Save $30.
CatholicAnswersConference.com.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I just want to thank the station for being there on the radio for all of us Catholics. We're all trying to learn something new every day about ourselves and about the world we live in and the people that we interact with. Thank you for taking my question. I appreciate your willingness to be on the radio these days.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, open forum. Tim Staples here. You know what I really like, Darren? I think you like this too, Tim. I think you're like me, that now that the vaccinations have happened and the COVID has subsided here, people are in the studio again. I love it when people come around, and it's so much easier to do the show when there's people hanging out.
It is, and I love the fact I can go to Vons without a mask on.
Okay.
And of course, we're in California, so you still have some stores and whatnot that try to force you, but I'm a rebel when it comes to the mask. They'll say, pull it up, and I pull it up, and then as soon as they leave, I pull it down.
I find myself...
I'm being bad.
I go into a store, though, and I look around like, all right, what's everybody else doing? I just want to get the lay of the land before I come in.
Isn't it great, though, when you travel? Like, I went to Ohio, I went to Florida the last few days, and there are no masks in Florida. It is like...
Did they ever wear masks? I don't know what they did in Florida, but it wasn't a California
situation. I think
they did
for a time, but yeah, they've got a really good governor there and stuff. But I think I'm showing my bias on the mask.
Do you think?
I don't think I'm supposed to do that here. But hey, it is wonderful to see masks come off. And of course, for us as Catholics, we love fellowship. We want to talk, and we want to, as Chris said, we want to hug.
Yeah. Well, they I don't know how it was at your church this Sunday, but in my church, the mass has been outside under this like big tent thing.
Right.
And the gentleman who gave the announcements at the beginning of mass said the bishop has allowed us to have mass in church next week. What, man, there was like a hooting and hollering, and everybody's so happy to get back into
I've got
church.
Father Soroki. Yeah.
Oh, he did it. Anyway.
Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Don't get him in trouble.
It's completely, it's optional, of course. Yeah. If somebody wants to wear a mask, you can wear the mask. But yes, it is wonderful. Praise God. Things are turning back to normal. And I knew things were going back to normal with the massive crowd at the airport on Sunday.
Oh, yeah,
it was unbelievable. It was like days of old. So we're back.
If you're going to give your pastor a credit, I just want to say the priest at St. Mary's Star of the Sea in Oceanside, they heard confessions every Saturday through the COVID thing. They went
God
outside, even, you know, and I know you think it doesn't get cold in California, but standing on their feet for 3 or 4 hours on Saturday mornings, hearing confessions outside, I was so proud of my priests and so grateful to them that they did that. They stood behind a little plastic thing, you know.
Si, now's the time we need to evangelize and bring people back to Mass.
Yeah, come on back.
Because so many people have left and they're not coming back, which goes to show you, doesn't it, that they weren't really Catholic to begin with. I mean, to use the terms of Lumen Gentium 14, in body but not in spirit.
Right.
And so I think all the more prophetic is the new evangelization of Pope St. John Paul the Great, who said that basically the new evangelization means we've got to re-evangelize the Western world in particular, but the entire world. We've got to bring folks back to Jesus in the Most Blessed Sacrament, because that is the beginning of all the healing that needs to take place in the world. It begins in the pews of Catholic churches.
Amen. Amen. Let's go all the way up to South Dakota now. Lloyd in South Dakota listening on the new and improved Catholic Answers Live app. You are up next, Lloyd. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Very well, Doing Lloyd. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I agree with you with the masks, Tim. I think we should have a great big mask burning party.
Yes. All right. What's on your mind, there, brother?
Okay. I met you a few years ago in Omaha, by the way. There was a Catholic Answers Conference in Omaha.
Oh, we're doing that again this spring. I mean, excuse me, this fall.
Oh. Yes.
You should come.
Oh.
I'll find the dates while you're talking to Tim.
Okay, excellent. Okay, this is my question. I've been watching. Are you familiar with a show on YouTube called the Infographics Show?
No.
Okay. It's a show that covers many different topics.
Okay.
Cartoon with narration. And actually, I mean, they'll talk about science, unsolved crimes. It's actually a very good show.
Right.
But I was really surprised the other day when they posted a 30-minute episode. Was he really resurrected?
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
In fact, I'd recommend you go check it out. I think you'll find it very interesting. Now, this is not a Christian production.
Sure.
And so I was like skeptical. I was like, Well, I watched it and I was blown away. It was like apologetics 101.
Wow. Fantastic. You
know? Yeah. They didn't conclude Jesus rose from the dead, but they did conclude that all the skeptical theories about what happened to the body are bunkum.
Right.
The swoon theory and all that.
Right.
And at the end, they said, something very unusual happened in the 30s AD.
That's beautiful.
It sure did.
I know.
That is really good.
Not a Christian.
Yeah, Lloyd, I got to get you to the. If you have a question, you got to get to it though, because we're not going to have time for Tim to answer.
Yeah. Here's my question.
Yes.
One thing they did say in the show was that, you know, the passage in John where Jesus rescues the lady who was about to be stoned for adultery.
Yes.
And you know, if he of you without sin cast the first stone.
Yes.
Beautiful passage. They claimed in this episode of the Infographic Show that passage is one of those later editorial additions to the New Testament.
Right.
And
right.
I had never heard that before.
Right.
I know there are some like the
Okay, well,
Mark.
Let me jump in because we're running out of time, brother. And here's the bottom line. Yes, it is original to John's gospel. But this is an example where you need tradition in order to understand why, because many of the early manuscripts, in fact, St. Augustine makes the point that many of the early manuscripts of Scripture were destroyed by some of the, say, the Novatians and other of the rigorists who did not believe Jesus would ever forgive an adulterer because they believed that was one of the unpardonable sins. Many of the early manuscripts were edited. Those parts were taken out and destroyed. St. Augustine makes that point. However, St. Jerome claimed, now we've lost a lot of these manuscripts, he saw John 8, 1 through 11 in many ancient manuscripts. Now, he's writing in the 4th century, and he's talking about ancient manuscripts that he saw it in. You also have what's called the Didascalia Apostolorum. This is a Syriac document from about AD 250 that quotes
John 8, 1 through 11. As if everybody knows, this is in the gospel. Tell you what, check out, I have an article called Was the Woman Caught in Adultery Original to John's Gospel? It's found at my website at timstaples.com. Check it out. I got a ton of information why it is original, but of course, without the magisterium of the church, you're wounded in your attempt to prove it.
Lloyd, thanks very much. I just want to let you know, Saturday, October 9th, will be in Omaha with the folks at Spirit Catholic Radio Network. If you just go to spiritcatholicradio.com, you can find out all about it. We're going to continue with the open forum for Tim Staples right after this on Catholic Answers Live.